You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Welcome to the October 2nd KoopaCast. I'm joined again by these, call you lovely gentlemen. And so now that the season, you guys are very lovely. Justin with his smile every time he comes in.
Oh, James, flattery will get you everywhere.
It's worked for me so far.
Yeah. Oh!
So now that the summer's over and fall's coming, it's starting to get cooler outside, it started making me think, I love soup. So what is your favorite soup as you introduce yourself? And we'll start with Alex.
Yeah, I'm Alex. My favorite soup is probably the New England clam chowder.
For a second. Technical.
What? New England clam chowder. Not the tomato-based stuff, because I can't stand tomatoes. This has to be like the cream stock or whatever.
Eli?
Okay. This is a tough question.
Banana soup?
No. I guess I'm not much of a soup person, but probably broccoli potato, I think.
All right, I'm Jay Money, and my favorite soup is tomato soup, but it has to be coupled with a grilled cheese sandwich.
Definitely.
If it doesn't have the grilled cheese sandwich, then I have to go with
Jay Money, I'm picturing you at a restaurant. You're like at a diner. It's a nice family establishment. And they bring out a bowl of tomato soup. And you go, what do you mean there's no grilled cheese? And you just throw it across the room.
I would.
It's garbage.
I have an interesting story involving a Nintendo 64 and tomato soup.
This happened.
Well, I don't like tomatoes at all, and that includes tomato soup. And when I was little, I was saving up my money for a Nintendo 64. And had tomato soup for dinner. So I was always eating the grilled cheese. I wouldn't touch the tomato soup. And my dad's like, look, you're so close to getting this Nintendo 64. If you eat this soup, I will take you to the store, and we will buy you that Nintendo 64. And I was like, don't make me. I can't do it, Dad. And I didn't. And that was the day that he truly believed that I did not like tomatoes. It was because I would not eat the tomato soup for a Nintendo 64.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even
then
I
went to Target
that.
And got the Nintendo 64 anyways.
Let's see. My favorite soup is probably chicken noodle soup.
The classic.
I'd have to go with crab chowder.
Crab chowder. I've never tried that before.
It's amazing.
Chowder?
Chowder.
Chowder.
I'm going to have to go with, there's a soup that we make around here. It's called the Not Quite So Vegetable Soup. It's vegetable soup with pork chops in it. Like cut pork chops in it. It's delicious. Hence what we call it, the not quite so vegetable soup.
Mine would be a nice bowl of chili, if that's a soup.
But chili, it's not soup.
It can count. <I don't know. laughs> So a lot happened this week. It's been a busy week. I want to first talk about Pokemon X and Y. And after seeing the new Mega Evolution for Charizard, I know you guys, some of you have it pre-ordered. What Pokemon version are you getting? X to Y. Well, I'll be getting X. Even though I think the Pokemon Y is legendary is cooler, I want to have the fairy legendary type just to give it a spin.
Mm-hmm. Is Xerneas a fairy
type? Yeah, it's fairy type.
Okay. Is it pure fairy or is it a dual?
I believe it's pure fairy type. Okay. Last time I checked Cerebee.net, it was.
Nice.
And went out better.
Oh. I'm probably going to be getting Y if I pick it up because I like the legendary and Y better. So.
Yeah, I'm probably getting Y.
I'm going to get X because I love Charizard and I think that Mega Evolution is a lot cooler for X than Y.
Yeah, I will give you that. I thought the Charizard X, Mega Charizard X, was better than the Y one. And it's a fire dragon, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the Y one is a fire flying. So dragon has less weaknesses, except with the fairy now it's pretty balanced. But
I'm getting X just because the name sounds cooler.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about them kind of making them more different than they used to be? Because normally there's not much difference between the two versions, maybe except for the legendary one. But now they seem to be doing more major differences that almost where if you want all of them, you got to get both versions just about if you want.
Well, you know, I know so many Pokemon fans that end up buying both versions of the game that I think it's about time that they made some major differences like that between the two. You know, it's refreshing. It's good.
Yeah, I think it gives more value to the gamer, you know, because I think, like, what's better than having one Pokemon game? Two Pokemon games. So, and the more differences that there is, I think, the more value it adds. Because actually, I probably am going to end up getting both of them because I've bought both Pokemon games since Gold and Silver. I only had Blue, but then after Blue, I was like, I'm not going for this either, or I'm doing and. So I got Gold and Silver, I got Ruby and Sapphire. I usually didn't get the third iterations, but I would get the, I have Diamond and Pearl, I've got Black and White, I've got Black 2 and White 2. Leaf Green, Fire Red, all that.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have a better Pokemon experience buying both games?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's I like having both because you can get the starters a lot quicker and a lot easier. Because what out of all of your friends, you know, which of your friends is actually going to be like, oh, here, I'll give you one of my starters, you know, to trade. Right. Like, most people keep their starters, you know, forever almost. So it's nice having, you know, two copies of the game because you can play through, get to the point where you can actually start trading and then just trade the starter over. And in some of the newer games, it happens a lot quicker. In the older games, you had to play like 8 or 10 hours to get to the third or fourth town before you could actually start trading. But with these newer ones, you should be able to do a lot quicker. So you could potentially get all three of the new starters pretty quick, just even with two copies of the game. So. I don't know. I kind of still focus on one copy of the game as like my main storyline and playthrough, and then I use the other one just for transferring Pokemon. So.
Well, I'll say one thing too is it's good having two copies of the game because mm-hmm. for me, I like to have my main copy that I go through, and that's like all my battling and competitive stuff is. And then I have the second version that if I, you know, I want to restart the game, I can restart that one because nothing's important on it. Kind of go through the story again. That's why I get two versions. So.
Yeah, that's a good point too, because they don't have save slots. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're just gushing. You guys go.
Yeah.
Well, I've only played Blue and Red, so.
I'm in the same boat with him. So, I've only played Blue. I haven't played a Pokemon game really since. Like, I mean, I played Snap and Stadium, but I'm like, those aren't really like the, I guess the true Pokemon exploration experience, I guess.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? Have you played Links Originals? Or?
I got as far as Gold. I'd like to pick up this new one, but Until I figure out how to file the 3DS as a business expense, I don't know if I'll be getting extra Y.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with him on that one. I just, money doesn't allow me to do it.
Yeah, we got to get some new team members. Maybe one of those 3DS people, then.
Yeah. Oh, dibs right here.
Yeah.
I'll review it.
And then when he gets the 2DS and we're all hanging out, I'll go, hey, guys, let's close our 3DSs. Just go and close them.
And slot it into our pockets. And
Don't
tempt just to me, go... Matt. I'll ask for a 2DS and I'll send it to you.
That works. Because I could just counter with, okay, oh, well, I guess my free review copy of a handheld gaming device that is awesome, yeah. I'll just slip into a bag.
Oh gosh, those are pretty nice bags. Yeah. But this eye popping 3D is fantastic.
Yes.
You guys. All right, moving on to, was it Monday night?
It's Wednesday night.
Monday night, the Wii U update came out, finally.
Yeah, Monday night.
That slipped into fall. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty big. It was about 700 megs. It was pretty huge and added a lot of cool things. That I guess we didn't spend keyboard integration, which is nice. But who really is sitting that close to the TV to use a keyboard?
Wireless keyboard, man.
A wireless one. I don't know if that'd be cool if it worked. Probably does. Let's see what else to do. Like the Wii U PDFs, you can view it through the browser. And Tristan brought up a good point. You can read Pew into the magazine through the browser.
Have we tested this out yet? Is there like a way we can like get a link set up so we can at least say, hey, could we read it?
Oh yeah, I mean we could definitely test it out.
Because I mean I think that'd be something cool to post on a site. Hey, want to read it on the TV or the gamepad? This is kind of how you can do it.
Yeah, we'll have to put it up there.
Yeah, we'll have to see what we can do about making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can also like take pictures of your game. You know how you put them on the Miiverse? Now you can actually connect them to your Twitter and Facebook account.
And I saw before we started, and I haven't confirmed this, but it looks like it may automatically add hashtags for you. Someone was saying that on Twitter. They tweeted a 1-for-1-101 screen, and added hashtags for them. Like hashtag 101, hashtag 101. I don't know if that's true, but that's what someone was saying.
Yeah, that would be very smart of them on their part.
Yeah, because if it knows the game, it can... Yeah.
They could do hashtag Wii U or something, and then it becomes trending pretty quick if you have that many people using it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those sly dogs.
Yeah.
So that's for sending Miiverse posts out from Miiverse to Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hadn't looked too much into the update yet, so a lot of this is still news to me.
Yeah. And then the big thing was the off TV play with Wii games, which is pretty interesting. Hey, have you guys tried it out yet?
Not yet. I'd like to, but I never even.
I actually tried it out with Xenoblade. You got to try with Xenoblade.
Xenoblade this, Xenoblade that.
I need to get Xenoblade. Sure. Yeah. It was sitting at GameStop too, and I didn't pick it up in the used section, so I may need to go back and.
It is very good.
On the Wii U gamepad for the Wii remote, or is it still connected to the TV?
Well, what it is, when you load up the Wii menu, or you first go to the Wii menu, you know how it tells you to point at the screen with your Wii remote?
Right.
Well, instead of, it has two options now. It has a button that says TV only, and then it says TV and gamepad. So there's not really like a gamepad only option, but you do TV and gamepad. And it's basically a reflection. So it's giving you the same thing on the gamepad as on a TV, kind of like some off-TV games for the Wii U, where it's basically still doing stuff on this TV screen, but it says, look at the gamepad, and then you can turn the TV off or whatever. So that's basically what it is. You still have both available, so if you turn the TV back on, you'd see the exact same thing on the gamepad, but it allows you to have the full game on the gamepad now. The catch is you can't use the gamepad as a controller. So if you try and touch the screen or use the buttons or anything, it says you can't use the gamepad. But you can use the Wii remote, nunchuck, all the Class Controller Pro, all the stuff like that. And if you wanted to play like Skyward Sword, you know, some people were like, oh, that's going to, you know, be a pain. I've got to point at the small little gamepad screen. Well, with Skyward Sword and some of the newer Wii games, they all used Motion Plus. And with Motion Plus, you don't need the sensor bar. But it's pretty slick.
I'll have to do the system transfer so that I can check those out, because I am curious about it.
Yeah. It's I actually did the transfer early on. They have a new version of it now, and I hope it works better, because I lost a lot of save games. So back up your save games, Alan. Yeah,
will do.
Now, I guess we'll move on to yesterday, October 1st. We had a Nintendo Direct. And it's nice they gave us a little warning this time instead of waking up to it. Yeah. And I'll just go through Mr. Sharp's rundown that he put together. And there's... Well, first of all, what did you think of the new Mario trailer? The new Mario 3.
Yes.
It's amazing. So awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I was really impressed with their new trailer. It was really, really good.
It was pretty.
Like, since E3, like, I was gonna buy the game, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get it, it's gonna be cool, whatever, but I wasn't, like, super excited for it, but this new trailer actually got me excited for it. I'm still gonna buy it anyways, it doesn't change, but I'm actually excited to buy instead of, like, oh, I'll just go ahead and buy and play it just because it's a Mario game.
Mm-hmm. They really showed off all of the new power-ups that are gonna be in this game, and that's just kind of that new angle that I really like, that it just makes this game, which when we saw at E3, like, people were kind of like, this is just Mario 3D Land again, but now it just seems like a completely new experience.
Yeah,
they have like a cherry power up, which allows players to duplicate themselves. You have like two Mars running around.
Yeah. Is there a reference to the cherry in past Mario games? Weren't there some cherries in Mario Brothers 2?
If you collected enough cherries, you got a Starman. But
yeah. And it sort of looked like it. Like, looking at the item, it was two cherries. And I think cherries in Mario Brothers 2 were, you know, a cluster of two. So. Yeah.
I wonder if, like, you control the two Marios, like, independently with, like, the two different joysticks, or...
No, they just follow. It duplicates them. I think there's some parts where they can kind of split up. Like, if you're running along, like, a surface here, and there's like a hill here, and then a flat part here. The other one will keep running. So it's all in tandem with one joystick is what it looks like. But you can kind of direct them by putting them on the other side of the fence or something and keep moving forward. I don't know. It seems like there's some different things they'll probably have you do.
It made me feel better too, because it looked like they're going to have a good balance of, like, the closed course kind of levels in 3D Land, and some also more open to explore, like Mario Galaxy. Because that was one of the things that I had a problem with in 3D Land, is a lot of the levels felt kind of constrained. Like, you know, I was on, like, the set course, and I couldn't really explore too much.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool.
More open.
I thought it was pretty cool how the open world map is actually, like, you know, you can just walk around...
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of cool looking. So you're not like stuck on this. Okay, hit right to go path. Hit this way to go on a path. It's, you know, there's a lot to explore.
Mm-hmm. Like it, and it looks a lot better than it did E3. E3 looked good, but it was like, yeah, this is HD, but it's not. It doesn't seem like that next step. But now it looks like it may be taking that next step. Because one of my favorite scenes from the trailer is Cat Mario, and I think it was Peach. They were running, it was sunset, and the sun was going down, it was dusk. It looked absolutely beautiful with the lighting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent a lot of work on that game in these last couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember thinking that Mario Kart 8 looked the best visually, just because it was doing a little bit more detailed effects with the flames or, you know, different things on the track. But yeah, it's this new trailer just looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty psyched for it. I'm very psyched, actually. So,
it seems like they're borrowing several things from Mario Brothers 2. You know, obviously, Princess Peach is playable now for the first time since then.
Yeah,
they even have like some of the icons for the characters are kind of like a flat 2D looking representation, not necessarily from Marvel Brothers 2, but just the artwork seems kind of retro on it.
Yeah, all the characters have their abilities from 2. And also, I don't know about you guys, but when I saw that little green fairy, I was like, huh, that almost reminds me of the fairies from Super Mario Brothers 2.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and do you remember the rats or the mice or whatever, those gray mice, and you fought that one boss, but...
Mouser?
Yeah. With the bombs.
Yeah, with the bombs. Mm-hmm. And he's got the cool sunglasses and everything.
Yeah, because he's a cool man from the 80s.
It looked like there were some rats or mice in this one, obviously, to go against Cat Mario, but seems like there's a lot of similarities they're pulling from Mario Bros. 2.
No, what would be crazy is if it turns out Bowser's actually teaming up with King Ward.
Ah.
So maybe Super Mario Bros. 2 wasn't a dream, spoilers, but maybe it was a foretelling.
Could be.
Who knows? Either way, I think it's safe to say that we're all super excited for it, and we can't wait to check it out.
Yes.
Just on a side thing, when you guys were talking about Super Mario Bros. 2 and all the similarities, I decided to look it up, and yeah, the blue toad that we're seeing in the new trailer is exactly the same as the original sprite for the original Super Mario
Bros. Oh, wow. I didn't think about that.
Nice. Huh. So yeah, I bet there's going to be more. Like, I wonder if even some of the mini-bosses are going to be inspired by... some older enemies. Because we've even seen, like, in Mario 3D Land, some of the guys from Mario Brothers 3 coming back, the castle and the bosses and things. It'd be interesting to check it out.
Yeah. Also, the music, all of the music in the trailer, it had very much of a big band swing to it, so hopefully we'll hear some variations of that along the way.
Yeah, and they probably confirmed this, but we can basically play through the entire single player, kind of hop in, hop out multiplayer, right?
Yeah, I think it's one thing they mentioned. It's like, it's fun with multiple people, but you can still beat it alone. It's not like, oh, you need to have friends.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
You'll really have friends.
Yeah.
I like the end of the trailer, too, where they showed, I guess, 4 people playing, but they had all had the cherry power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of little kitties on the screen.
Oh, I thought you liked it at the end because he just goes, meow.
Oh, no.
That actually ruined the whole... That almost ruined the whole trailer. I saw it in that very end. I'm like, oh. It kind of brings me back down to earth.
Yeah. Oh, Japan. They love their cats.
Yeah.
Tuning the news from the Direct, Sonic has been confirmed for Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U and 3DS.
Yeah.
You guys excited?
Yeah.
I didn't really use Sonic that much.
I did.
I kind of expected it already.
Yeah.
I was more surprised for Toon Link in a way. I don't know why, but I was like, okay, cool. He's coming back. I absolutely love going on the website and seeing like the detail of each character. I'm like, Sonic's like, okay, well, I mean, like, let's face it, the only thing Sonic really wears are gloves and shoes. But like when you look at Link's, like Tunic, the Toon Link's especially, you can see detail in the fabric. I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like when seeing Sonic fight, his movements seem more fluid than how they were in Brawl.
Mm-hmm. I felt like they were really stiff in Brawl. Like, he was fast, but he was still stationary, or if that makes sense.
Yeah, and hopefully there's a way in Brawl he'll be fast, but not so fast where he's uncontrollable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like how they're fixing that in Sonic Lost World. He's fast, but he's manageable.
Yep. Yeah, oh, and that's another thing. Sonic Lost World, they didn't really talk about it in the Direct much.
No.
They mentioned, like, the Deadly Six edition or something, but...
Yeah, which is...
That's looking awesome, too. So.
Yeah.
What other news was there?
And we need Wiimote Plus controllers?
Oh, my God.
Coming up. I'm so getting those. Why
dude, that was... Yeah, that's not fair. Shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
Do we know when they're supposed to come out?
November 1st.
November 1st.
But here's the way I see it. It'll look great along with my Skyward Sword Wiimotes. I mean, it's perfect.
Yes. Yeah. I know, and did you guys look at them closely? Like, the colors? Like, the colors of the 1 and 2 button are kind of brown to match their shoes?
Oh, really?
And then, is it the D-pad is kind of black?
Yeah.
And then, like, the bottom half of the controller is blue to match their overalls.
Mm-hmm.
So Luigi's is green top and then blue bottom. Mario's is red top, blue bottom. But, just a lot of fun detail with it. We probably won't get a matching nunchuck, but that's okay, I guess.
Yeah. In other news, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze got pushed back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I know, but I just keep telling myself, you know, it's going to be gonna great. It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be worth the wait no matter what, you know.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
That's the one thing I can respect when they have to push it back just a little bit just to make sure, okay, it's the best it can be. Because you can tell when it feels rushed, and then you're just going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You can't unrelease a game. So
exactly.
And there was a Pikmin 3 software update. Helped.
Something
with rankings. I don't know. I don't like to rank myself. Because I'm better than everyone.
It's just not fair to everybody else.
Exactly. I'm like, I already know I'm the best, so why even check? But along with that, they announced some DLC for new mission modes. I think three of them?
There's four levels in the DLC. So what they did, there's 10 levels total now.
Mm-hmm.
They had the five that were there in the treasure mode. And then number six is just for free for downloading the update.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other set of four, 6 through 10 or 7 through 10, are $1.99 for the whole set. And just so you guys know, I got it. All of the new five levels are remixes of the existing levels.
Oh.
So level six is a remix of level one, level seven remix of level two, and so on. But all the items are all mixed around, and there's a lot of different stuff in them. But because I was like, man, $1.99 is cheap.
Yeah,
it is reusing a lot of the same stuff. But.
Are the levels themselves the same?
No. Well, I haven't played too much in them, but I'm
assuming there's different pathways.
I think there are different pathways, different like obstacles. Walls or something, or mm-hmm. obstacles and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's at least going to be, you know, it's going to be a fun, different experience. I was kind of hoping they'd add in like, I don't know, I would like a level maybe more themed after the desert level.
Right. And now something completely different or something like that. Like
something completely new. Yeah. Like super hard level lava world or something.
Where we can just throw our Pikmin into the fire, no problem.
Yeah. Where like you have to have like maybe cooling zones, like where you have to keep all of your non-red Pikmin like in a cooling zone.
Yeah.
Or else they'll light on fire after a minute of exposure. I don't know. Just toss an idea.
Those poor Pikmin.
I'd like to see Nintendo go for that because, I mean, from what I've seen lately, it seems like they're trying to trend towards having the option of like these ultra hard levels mm-hmm. for experienced players, which I like, and I hope they continue that on with all their future titles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I liked a lot of the level packs in even Mario Brothers 2. Well, yeah. New Super Mario Brothers 2 on 3DS that came out.
Yeah.
Because they did a lot of DLC packs with that, and a lot of them were like really tough levels, and, you know. I think they had like an insane mode or something like that, or impossible mode.
Yeah. Well, speaking of intense levels or something a little bit more different and also difficult, what about A Link Between Worlds? Now you can actually get all the items at any point in the game, and you kind of have to, you can go to any dungeon at any point in the game, but it's up to you to go, okay, what do I need? What should I go for first? Oh God, I can't do this level. It's too hard for me. I need to go somewhere easier, build up my hearts. That I think is going to be such a different, but an acceptable kind of different formula onto the Zelda thing, because Iwata had a really good idea. He stated some really good points in the Zelda formula. Go to dungeon. Get item in dungeon. Use item that you got in dungeon to defeat enemies as well as the boss. Okay, well, and it's a formula that I think we've all come to accept and anticipate for each Zelda game, but this one's going to kind of go, oh, it's a little different now. Okay, I guess I got to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like the fact that we'll be able to discover the dungeons. Like, maybe have to figure out which item we need to use. My only fear is there's still maybe one item that's advantageous in each dungeon. Mm-hmm. I really hope there's going to be like maybe two items that you need to get through a dungeon or something, you know. Like maybe you came across the last dungeon and you can get through the first area, but then you're like, oh, I got to come back. I got to get this other item.
Okay.
But, you know, because if it's just like going in whatever order, but it's still you need one specific item for it, then it's like, well, why not just do it in the same order? I don't know. So hopefully there's a lot more variety in each dungeon, I guess.
It's one of those I have to see it in action before I can either say, okay, they made it work, or, you know, not quite perfect.
Did you guys catch how the shop's going to work? Like, I think it's very interesting how they're renting and buying. Mm-hmm. They said that, like, I think it's going to be super expensive at first.
Mm-hmm.
And so you rent it, but you can rent it for as long as you want, but every time you die or if you fall off into whatever, you lose the item and you have to go back and rent it again. And then eventually, once, you know, you build your rupees up, you can actually eventually probably, they'll probably come down as well as the more you rent it, because supply, not supply and demand is not the right word.
Did you guys see
to own?
Did you guys, speaking of the shop, did you guys see the Easter egg in it?
Yeah, the mask.
Yeah,
Majora's Mask in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's Nintendo's way of saying, oh, a 3D version is coming out soon. Mm.
Uh-huh. We hear you guys.
Oh, God, that would be, oh, I'd lose it.
Well, going back to the weapons dungeons thing, in the video it looked like it tells you kind of what you need for the dungeon. It looked like there are pillars out in front that kind of gave you a picture of what tool you needed inside of the dungeon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no, it's funny. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, this might sound really strange, but I just want ownership of the weapons. I want them to be mine. I don't like
you don't
want
to rent
them out. It's like, I got it in the chest. I've earned this. Let me use it as many times as I want.
You can't unless you die or fall into a pit.
Yeah, so don't die, man. Just, like, don't just suck at video games. You got to be good at them. Like,
you don't
like
just
me.
Suck at video games. How about that?
I'm the best at them, especially Mario Kart. I am your champion at Mario Kart.
So Alex and I were having a discussion about this new formula for Zelda, showing that Nintendo, because Nintendo, a lot of people look at Nintendo and they're like, well, they're kind of set in their ways, they're kind of old, they do the same things over and over again. Well, now this shows that they're not afraid to change it up a little bit, especially for such a big franchise.
Yeah.
And this got my mind running. I'm like, this could be perfect for the Zelda for the Wii U, because it's going to build us to have an open world Zelda game.
Yeah.
I saw a thing like something like, go back to Skyrim, was absolutely love Skyrim. And then Alex brought up the Hyrulean Wars. That kind of just start a game out. You wake up, the wars are going on, your village may be destroyed, and you just kind of wander around and find things. Like in Skyrim, I don't know if you guys ever played, you're a prisoner, you're about to get your head chopped off, a dragon flies in, kind of saves your life, kills everyone, and then it just you just cast into the world to do whatever you want to do, figure out what you need to do, and that's kind of what I wanted the next Zelda game to be. It's kind
I think we can easily see that, and next you know, before Link is about to fight Ganon, Link will finally speak to the audience, and he will look at Ganon and yell, "Foos Roda!" and blow him away. For he is Storm King. But, I actually love that idea, because we think about the first Zelda did that. The first Zelda game, when you start off, it just goes, figure it out.
Yeah.
Where do I go? I don't know. You tell me. You can go to any dungeon in any order and just figure it out for yourself. You didn't have to go, world dungeon 1, dungeon 2, and so forth. I think we could definitely use something like that again instead of something that's holding your hand constantly. Let you live in the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might stumble across a temple that you're not... that. Technically, you're not supposed to go in there, and you can kind of almost break some game sequencing.
Yeah, that's definitely something I want to see again. Is that, I mean, that's what I was thinking about when I was thinking of the what they showed is you can go into any dungeon at any time. I was definitely thinking back to the first Zelda, because I've done that a couple times. I've sequence break. I've gone to dungeon 3, then 4, then 1, then 2.
Yeah.
I love that choice to it, but I also like the idea, like you talked about before, Tristan, which was, the game telling me I'm not supposed to go in here, not because there was a sign that told me to do that, but because I went in there and got murdered terribly.
Right. It all is the sense of exploration and the adventure. You know, what's in there? Well, you're not going to know until you go in there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what made the game so popular in the very beginning, was that sense of exploring. Mm. You really felt like you were doing it. Because nothing was holding your hands.
Nothing could. I mean, seriously, the Eastmost Peninsula is the key. The what? Exactly. Where on this little gray rectangle is a map?
No. Master, there's a 90% chance you're not ready for this dungeon. Don't go in.
Or another one was, go into the waterfall. Which waterfall? Which one indeed? You tell me.
Go
And you go into the waterfall, and it's just a gambling game. The old man takes 50 rupees out of you.
It's funny, like, now every time I see a waterfall, no matter what game it is, I have to check behind it.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah, same. Yeah, Link to the Past, if you never did that, you would never gotten the magical boomerang or something. Yeah. And how about you guys?
You had to go find someone behind a waterfall.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about you guys, this is a little side note. When you went to that first, like, a little thing in Link to the Past where you could throw stuff in there, after you threw your boomerang in there and it changed, did you, like, go through your whole arsenal and go, well, what else can I get from this woman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Another bottle.
Yeah. Hey, did you throw eventually get that level 4 sword.
So. Yeah, did you throw your tunic in here? No. So you just walk around naked? Totally. Doesn't every hero?
Yeah.
I have one question to ask you guys before we begin, but when they were talking about the buying and renting the items, did anybody think about the Tokay side quest in Oracle of Ages, when you were on the Crescent Island and you had to trade your items in order to get to the certain rooms? Or am I the only one that thought about that, because I'm playing the game now?
Yeah, I didn't remember that, but
that, like, immediately came to mind, and it seems like they're trying to pull back, like, really creative elements from, like, different games. They're doing it in Mario, too, by bringing the Mario 2 stuff back. It seems like they're trying to go for the really unique stuff that made those games stand out and kind of, you know, elaborate and make, you know, games based on it.
What would be really cool is if you can pick up an item and you have to go talk to him, you know, say, okay, I want this one. Think if you could pick up the item, go around him, and then leave the store and steal it. Link's Awakening style.
I'm sure they'll have some sort of Easter egg in there if you're trying to.
Just don't go back in the store. Just make sure if you're going to steal something, you never go back.
Yeah. Or steal everything.
I really think you guys may have talked about this when I walked away, but it seems like they're testing out some of these new concepts with a Zelda game on this 3DS game before they potentially try it with the Wii U Zelda. Because I have a feeling they're going to, you know, like you said, Alex, we're not going to know if it succeeded until it comes out and we play it and it's like, oh, that was fun, that, you know, that sucked.
Yeah.
So I think they're probably going to, you know, heavily rely on fan feedback from, you know, Miiverse. Hopefully Miiverse will have 3DS integration by then, but hopefully they'll rely on that feedback and use it to kind of sculpt and you know, work on out the details and the kinks for the Wii U Zelda.
Yeah. Go ahead. I was gonna say, did you guys notice at the end of the trailer of it, there almost seemed like there was gonna be cutscenes in this game? Like,
I was gonna mention that. They look gorgeous. I love the way they look.
And Link actually looked more animated. Like, when we saw him, like, it looks like first going through the wall, and it's kind of, like, stumbling or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, it almost looks like they're bringing the artwork from A Link to the Past, like, alive, and that's why they look so animated. Because they look really close, if you look through your manuals and stuff, they look really close to the artwork that they did for those.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys notice they changed how Link looks when he's on the wall?
Yeah. I think he's gone, like, through, like, three different styles now.
He kind of looks like Wind Waker Link when he's, you know, on a little ledge, you know, cruising across like that. Because before he was just like the hieroglyph kind of walking.
Yeah.
But now he looks more natural, like flattened on it, you know. As he's,
yeah.
going across, but I like subtle details like that.
I actually, I don't know if you guys have seen this. I've actually, someone posted up what the map of the Hyrule is going to look like, I believe, in this game. And they compared it to the Link to the Past. Roughly, it looks, well, it's the same place. I haven't really noticed any differences. But then again, we haven't seen the Dark World. For all we know, the Dark World could be, well, something else.
Oh, yeah, because the Dark World is technically gone at this point, right?
Maybe?
We beat Ganon, and, like, that was the wish that was used, right?
Right.
Yeah, the wish was to restore. Yeah, the wish was to restore the land back to the same place. But when you think about it, there will always be two sides of the same coin of light and darkness.
Yeah. Well, did you guys see in that picture of the map? There's actually like a little button that has the gold triforce, and then the dark triforce. You see that?
Yeah. I'm still going for the theory that there's anti gods. That there has to be a gods of light and gods of darkness to counterbalance each other.
Oh, like opposites of Din and Feror. And
yeah, exactly. Because I mean, like, wasn't there? I think I might mention this before. Because there's power, courage, and wisdom. Think if there was one that was like anger, fear, and
wrath.
Wrath. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, like, you know, like rage, fear, and I know something else, but ignorance. But think if there's something like that to kind of balance the two. But yeah, I see what you mean right there, that there's an inverted Triforce there.
Yeah, so I wonder if that's like a toggle button, and then it like toggles between the light and dark maps. I don't know.
When's this coming out again, and when can I like buy it?
November 22nd. Get it.
Can't wait.
That's going to be so awesome. Love me some Zelda.
Oh, let's open up the Q&A app.
What I'm going to do is I'm just going to, when this game comes out, I'm going to grab my Hyrule story here, and I'm just going to draw in, and here's where it goes on the timeline.
I think we're all obsessed with the timeline a little too much.
Yeah. I'm just not the only one.
Dude, I like it. I mean, it's cool.
Well, I'm not going to knock it. It's amazing how they can link them all together.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
If there's one thing, if people are like, no, this isn't it, this isn't the right one, I'm thinking it's they made the game. They get to say what it is. I don't, you know, that's, to me, that's the final thing.
Mm-hmm. James, do you want to do that question?
That was a question, but yeah, we have a comment on, says, going through dimensions, it would make sense for them logically to make him stumble or anything like that.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to do all of the, going between the light and dark world. I'm sure in the beginning it's going to be, you know, kind of like when you transformed into a bunny. It's going to be like, oh, this is a, you know, not an easy task to go back and forth, but then maybe you get some fur item, makes it easier. And they showed in one trailer where he goes on a wall, and then he goes, like, into a crack, and that transports him into the Dark World area, or whatever the new Dark World is. Maybe it'll be something like the Twilight that'll link to Twilight Princess. But
what if it's like the Dark World in Metroid Prime, where he can only be there for so long?
Ah, that would be cool. And then it's sort of a Majora's Mask element at that point.
Oh, I'm gonna be so disappointed if I do not see Dark Link in this game.
It's definitely gonna be Dark Link.
It's definitely.
Oh, yeah. What would be really cool is like you've been going through, you've been thinking you've been doing all this good stuff to save the world, but then in the Dark World you've been destroying it.
Oh, I love when games do that. I wish more games would do it to where it's like, oh, you're actually not this good guy. You're actually kind of a jerk.
Spec Ops: The Line is probably the best recent example. Yeah.
What was this? Do you guys remember Ravios? That's the shopkeeper's name, Ravios. Okay, I was thinking about his name, and I was trying to think about any other past Zelda characters, because I don't know why, I just don't trust this guy. Because what if these treasures were already in the dungeons and he just went into all of them, snagged them?
And he's a better hero than you are.
He deserves the money.
Or maybe he, you know, couldn't beat the dungeons, but he has the items and he's using you to beat them.
Exactly.
He's using you to get into the dark world or something. I don't know.
I'm going to be so, like, that's what it's like, you know, when Link should be all shocked, that's where you just go, no, really? No, that's cool. Totally cool. Why does this keep happening?
He's evil and he took my money?
Yeah. I think he's secretly Tingle in a hat.
Throughout your adventure, at one point you come in, interrupt him. He's like rolling around in Link's money. Oh, the fool. Oh, this is the best idea. Oh, you're right here. You need some?
I don't know. Are you guys hoping there's a lot of newness to it? Like, I hope that there's not so much familiar with it that it feels, that it doesn't feel like a new game, you know? Because I'm like, hey, this is a new Zelda game. I'm always really excited for a new Zelda game, but I feel like a lot of it's going to be similar. I'm really hoping that there's more, you know, dissimilar than...
I think we're going to get that already with the new ability to go into the wall and how the item system's going to work.
Yeah,
but I do feel the same way. I do want that familiarity. I am really looking forward if this game does like a lot of references to A Link to the Past or something like that. Well, wow, that was like two puns in one. A Link to the Link of the Past. Or is it A Link to the Link to the Link of the Past? Never mind. I'm really hoping the Master Sword is hyped up again as it was in Link to the Past, where it's like, oh my god, I'm so excited to get it. And when you get it, you just feel like I want that feeling back, that familiarity there, but even brought up even more. Yeah, I want to feel like the hero.
Mm-hmm. I think most of the new tricks that are going to come with the game are going to happen in the dark world, mm-hmm. and that's why they've been more hush-hush about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be like, you know, the light world is going to be like your old familiar, but then you go into the dark world, and that's going to be like, oh, man, it's all new. I get to explore.
Yeah.
So
Well, and Anuma said today, or he was talking about the Ravio's shop in on Miiverse. But he said there's lots and lots of information still to come. Did you see that? He kind of teased that there's just a lot more about the game, obviously. But do you guys remember when Spirit Tracks came out? Do you remember it was like literally 2 or 3 weeks before the game was supposed to come out? It came out in early December. But they did some sort of a press release and maybe a trailer that showed... a core aspect of the game, and I think it was the fact that Zelda would turn into a ghost and all that, and mm-hmm. Help you out through the game. But I think they hadn't even revealed that aspect until like a couple weeks before the game came out. And I remember thinking at the time, I was like, "Wow, that's a real big element to reveal," you know. So I'm wondering if there is like one more big revelation or something about the game that's gonna come, you know, early November or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. There's still a lot we don't know about it.
Nintendo's sneaky like that.
They are, but they're good. That's why there should be a, what would it be, a noun in the dictionary? You just got Nintendo'd.
Yes.
I want to move on to our next question because it was asked to Alex.
Yeah, that'd be me.
What was the question that was asked to you?
Well, it was Richard Phillips. Thank you for the question, by the way, Richard, via Twitter. And he wanted to know how we felt about the recent surge of indie games and the Kickstarter funds. And so I guess like what he was getting at is, do we feel like indie developers are taking advantage of the Kickstarter thing? Or is it a good thing and we want more of it?
I would absolutely love more of it. In fact, and I would love if most games did something like that. To me, it shows the initiative and it shows the, you know, desire that people want this game. If people didn't want it, no one would contribute to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Shantae, I mean, Shantae hit its goal no problem. Heck, I believe Mighty No. 9 hit every goal but one, and that was like its 4 million marker. It hit everything but that.
Yeah,
it hit that. Oh, it did?
Yeah.
There was a 4.1 million marker. It was like another single player online or something.
Man, but either way, I mean, like, to me, if I was developing a game and I did a Kickstarter and it got that much, you know, praise and help and donations, I think as a developer, I would say that I'm going to make this the best thing I've ever made in my life. It's going to be the best product ever. It gives the designers more, more of a comforting feeling that people really want this game rather than, well, we're going to make it. We'll hope they like it. While with a Kickstarter, you're asking, hey, we have this idea. What do you think? Obviously, people love it enough to want to donate money to it. And also, it kind of works out for the best. Like Trishante Half Genie Hero, technically, I've already bought the game. I donate enough to where I'm going to get the code when it comes out. So it's like, you know, I pay for the game and I help back it up. So I think I feel like my money goes to something even better. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel like you're part of the process in a sense.
And I'm going to kind of take an opposite stance almost. I like the fact that game developers are taking advantage of Kickstarter, especially the smaller developers where they might be able to get their game out on other platforms that they may not have been able to get it out on before. Not that it's wrong that WayForward or Comcept is using Kickstarter to fund their games, but to me, they're kind of like above indie or just above indie, where they can probably afford to do it without Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And I
agree with you.
Probably using it to make their game better with additional funding, but I think they could still make an adequate game without Kickstarter's help. But on the flip side, we're getting a lot of great games coming out of the whole Kickstarter trend. And I just lost my train of thought.
I think I see where you're going at with it, though.
But in general, I think it's good. Oh, this is what I was going to say.
Okay.
It's still kind of early, and a lot of games have been funded, but we haven't really seen many release on consoles. So for me, it's kind of like, let's see if these little companies can actually put out what they, you know, what they promised.
Mm-hmm.
Once several of these games start coming out, then we can kind of more, I guess, give more credit to Kickstarter and that it is actually benefiting the smaller game developers. Anyways.
Yeah. I'm gonna take your stance too. To me, and I'm probably gonna get a lot of backlash for this, but I think the excessiveness of the Mighty Number 9 left a bit of a bitter taste in my mouth. I think 4 million is pretty darn excessive for one game. And I don't know, to me, I got this vibe that it was, yeah, let's fund this game, but also help fund my private new studio.
Mm-hmm. So. This point has been beaten down to the ground by so many other sites, but I mean, people do have to remember that Kickstarter, you're making an investment, you're not necessarily purchasing a guaranteed product. And I know that's a lot of, still in the early stages of Kickstarter, so that's the problem a lot of people are facing, where they're investing money, but they're not seeing a product, and they're going to get like mad, and there's going to be a backlash to that. But the good thing about studios like WayForward or Comcept is that we know that they've already proved themselves in previous games already, WayForward with the Shantae series and Mighty Switch Force and, you know, Double Dragon Neon and all that, and Inafune with Mega Man. So we know there's credibility behind them. So, I mean, that's good for them because we know that they can pump out good products, whereas, like, more indie people would be like, it's a bigger risk.
Mm-hmm.
I think my big issue is the total overwhelm of the amount of Kickstarter. It's kind of Kickstarter fatigue. We can't really talk too bad about Kickstarter because we use it successfully and it helped us out a lot. But it's like every day there's a new Kickstarter or there's something to this Kickstarter. It's just like look at Twitter or any website, there's this Kickstarter, Kickstarter, Kickstarter. It's kind of like what am I supposed to focus on? What am I supposed to be? Everything? Should I be giving money to everything? What do I do? It's not just video games, too. It's other technologies. Kickstarter in general. There's just a ton of going on. And Kickstarter just becoming a little bit overwhelming and a little bit fatigued by the word Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Do you think Kickstarter's going to have a bubble where eventually people just kind of like lose interest and they're like, yeah, okay, well, I'm over it already?
I think if they don't produce, like you were saying, if the games don't produce, people gave $50 and don't get anything in return, that can kill it very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's also a concern of, hey, they got the game, so they've paid, like you said, Tristan, you paid for the new Shantae. These people have paid for Mighty No. 9. What happens if they're not satisfied with it? You know, because the expectation up to this point is you buy a game, you're not happy with it, you trade it in. Right. You know, if this is solely a digital thing, you know, it sounds like they're not going to be printing copies. Maybe they will. I don't know. But I'm just like trying to see what the expectation would be is what, how far are Kickstarter people going to take it? Are they going to say, oh, I paid for a product and also to be satisfied with it? You know, I paid for a good product. You know, so if someone says, oh, this game wasn't as good as I thought it would be, I want my money back. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of concerns with it.
But don't you really take that risk with any digital game that you buy?
Exactly. That's what to say is like, because when you buy it, there's no way to return it. So, I mean, like, to me, it's like, well, either way, I was going to pick up Shantae Half Genie Hero because thanks to Alex, who introduced me to the series, he was first one to tell me about it. Yeah. But I'm just really excited. I think because I played WayForward's games before and I have faith. It's like they've made a great product since. I feel confident in what they're going to do. I mean, my number 9, I mean, come on. That one, I mean, like, I actually didn't get a chance to fund that one because, well, my funds aren't really too big. But I'm pretty excited for that one because, I mean, it's old school Mega Man style. It's Mega Man, but it's not supposed to be Mega Man. But it's Mega Man.
Yeah, but it's not.
Yeah. But I think it's – well, the good thing is, I mean, like, you have the choice to donate money. It's not like they're demanding it. And, heck, if you want to, sometimes you can donate just $1. You know, just like, here, I just want to help, you know. So, I mean, I think that's what it boils down to is you have the choice to donate. No one's forcing you to do it. No one's demanding that you do it. They're just asking for a little help.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, if you guys would direct yourself to my Kickstarter, which is just give me all your money, which I will then gladly throw into a kiddie pool and roll around in as I live stream that. Head over to Twitch TV for details.
What are the tier prizes? What am I going to get?
Video of him rolling around in the money.
That's not a good prize. I don't want to see that.
Eli will come to your house and do the hula hoop thing on the Wii Fit.
Max donation.
He'll ask if it's your birthday or something like that.
There's one more thing I want to talk about and kind of bring in two topics. We mentioned how it's kind of cool. We don't know much about A Link Between Worlds. Mm-hmm. We can flip that to the other way. And do we know too much about Pokemon X and Y? Are they revealing too much? I started hearing that a lot the last few days. Like, oh, I don't want to hear about this other Pokemon. It's kind of ruining the game. Are we hearing too much about it?
Dude, there's 8. How many? There's 600 of them. How can you air too much?
Well, everybody knows, you know, 500 and, you know, well. 650 right now, plus whatever new ones they're adding. So and the rumor is it's going to be like 100 more. And they've probably revealed 20 to 30 of them, so there's still a good, you know, 70 that we don't know about. But.
Fair enough, but if you look at me and Jay Money standpoint, which the last game we played was like Pokemon Blue and Red,
yeah,
we're not. There's no way we can be spoiled. There's like, I can literally think of no way other than if you tell me the story. If you like, told me why I'm collecting Pokemon this time. That's the only way I could be spoiled, really, I feel like.
It's the same as always.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's not like you can really be spoiled. Like, let's say a Mario game. Oh, you have to say the princess. Oops.
Spoiler. What with the Mega Evolutions? Like, do we need to see all these? Like, it's something. Now it's not as exciting, but that's what I liked about Blue, because I didn't really know what they were going to turn into. Yeah. But now you have, like, oh, I've already known what Charizard's going to be in X or Y or whatever.
Yeah, it does take away some of that mystery, which is fun to discover, I think. And I think Pokemon's a completely different game. Like, spoilers, you know, in the normal game is like, oh, storyline, you know, bosses, stuff like that. A Pokemon game, it's, yeah, what's this turn into? What moves does it have? So, I don't know. I think we're going to have a discussion in the magazine this next issue about spoilers, and I think it'll encompass not just spoilers as we think of it, but too much information about a game. Like, let's say you want to discover the game by yourself, but they've released 50 trailers before the launch of the game, you know. So if you've seen the first 8 hours of gameplay, and you have to play through 8 hours before you even see anything new, you know, does that change the experience? But
I'm torn because I love hearing all the news.
Yeah, I know, me too. I'm my own worst enemy.
Exactly.
Because I'm like, what? New Pokemon news? I'm there.
If there's one thing of Pokemon news I'd like to know is that what the screenshot was with Blaziken and Lucario that looked like a Street Fighter kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. He talked about that recently.
Interesting enough, they did a couple of it was in Japan and U.S. They did like some kind of a patent for like what people were assuming was like a Pokemon fighting game, the name of the patent or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, people were saying it was like a Pokemon cross Tekken. It was like Pokken or something like that.
Yeah, Pokken Fighter or something.
Yeah.
And I think in regards to that screenshot, that was from like a trailer they showed at some Pokemon World Expo or something.
Yeah.
And they said it was just to show conceptually what could be in Pokemon's future. Like they were basically just trying out some ideas. I think it could be maybe a concept of augmented reality. I think Pokemon in the future, when systems get a little bit more powerful, I think Pokemon would be a perfect augmented reality type of a game where you're pointing around and you see the Pokemon hopping through your world. And I think one reason why you saw Blaziken and that other Pokemon squaring off in the middle of a Japanese city.
There's a Pokemon right now.
Yeah. It's giant.
Are you going to be all right, buddy?
How tall is it? Are you laying on the floor?
Well, I'm sitting on my bed and it's standing next to me.
He's standing. He is standing next to you.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a horse in your house.
Anyways, I guess to start wrapping this up, what games have you guys been playing?
I just beat Oracle of Seasons, and for the first time ever, so proud of myself. And now I'm linking it up with Oracle of Ages, and I just now got into Dungeon Number 4, so I'm enjoying that immensely.
I'm embarrassed to say I've been taking a break from Nintendo a little bit.
Dun, dun, dun.
I played some GTA 5, and then yesterday started playing Battlefield 4.
No Animal Crossing? Is that not cool anymore, guys?
Animal Crossing still, yeah.
That's a given.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've been playing some Gianna Sisters, Cloudberry Kingdom, and Rayman Legends. And then I have a whole bunch of other games that I need to play, but I just don't have enough time.
Yeah, I've been trying to go through my backlog. I actually started to play Xenoblade again. And mostly because of that off-TV play, I was playing around with that. Trying to think. Oh, I played some more Pikmin 3 with the mission mode, and those new levels they added. But yeah, I started playing Battlefield 4 yesterday. Been playing a little bit more Far Cry 3. I don't know, I'm trying to I know I'm going to be inundated with all of these Wii U games this holiday, so I'm like, I better play some of my other backlog.
Get them out of your way.
Yeah, and Pokemon's going to consume my time.
Yes.
Yeah. I just finished up Wind Waker HD. Oh, and now I'm back to Zelda 2.
Nice.
Game is so difficult.
Oh, it is, but it's rewarding once you do so well in it. I've been playing Borderlands for the first time with a friend of mine.
Ooh.
Never played it, and I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. And I've also been recently playing Final Fantasy II for the Super Nintendo, which was also known as Final Fantasy IV. So I'm playing through that and having a lot of fun with it. I've been on a big RPG fix lately, and I've been going back to Earthbound recently.
Good man.
I'm in the mines right now. I have to bail the Runaway Brothers out again.
Yeah. Get used to that.
Yeah, I have been. I don't like seeing them because every time I see them, it's trouble.
Oh, but they're so heartwarming.
with their fantastic musical numbers.
Exactly.
And their incredibly ridiculous debts they get in.
You smile every time they perform, don't lie.
Yeah, because I smile every time they perform because I know they're looking at me good, like singing, "We're in trouble, help us for the love of God, please."
They need a Kickstarter.
Yeah, if anyone, they need a Kickstarter.
Yes. I've been playing Scribblenauts on Mask, which is a good game. You see, the more I play, the more I wish it was about Marvel. I'm not a big DC fan. But it's all right. I can overlook that. It's real cool. Like, I try to type in Thor and Captain America. Thor came up. It was kind of like a cave person, a caveman. But it was like Captain America.
You type in Stan Lee, and, like, Maxwell jumps out of the game and slaps you once and jumps back in.
I'm going to try that. I'm trying Stan Lee. Yeah. Yeah.
He comes in and breaks the game and just runs around going, "Excelsior!"
Yeah. all I'm going to say, DC has Batman, so...
Yeah, he's got a point.
Batman beats all.
Well, they do have a ton of characters that on Mask. I was sitting there, and you... I saw a mission. I'm like, I'll just have Aquaman do it. And so you type in Aquaman. I was like, I pulled up DC because I don't know a lot about DC. I'm more of a Marvel person. I was just typing in characters that I saw online of DC characters, and most of them appeared on the game. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And Aquaman was useful.
Justin, I'm surprised Katie hasn't asked you to go out and get that game. I feel that'd be something like up her alley.
Oh, she wants it. I'll probably get it too.
And be sure to have your DC encyclopedia next to you.
Yeah, well, when I talked to the guy at PAX, he said it's the most complete, encyclopedia or grouping of all of the DC information and characters ever done. So it's even more comprehensive than even that DC encyclopedia.
Yeah, even when you run into a character or you create a new character, whatever, it gives like a bio card, so you can actually go into the menu and read about that character and learn about that character. And so
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So she was excited just about that, but you know, the fact that you can create like your own superhero, you can add like Aquaman's trident and
Batman's cape
and Wonder Woman's shield, Cyborg's head, you know, so you can have augmented, digital stuff. But yeah, there's some cool stuff. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
And I'm gonna have to play GTA now. I've been trying to hold off. I'm gonna say this to Eli because I think he's the only one playing it. But I was watching that this MythBusters GTA thing. This is so much cool stuff you can do in the game. I've been trying to put off because I have other things to do and play, but I can't.
So physically can't anymore.
I can't physically. So I'll begin now. Well, thanks for joining us.
Mr. Lip, to answer your question, this is what a KoopaCast is.
This, what you commented on.
Yes. All about Nintendo.
Believe it.
All right, thank you for joining us.